Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Today is the ALAC monthly conference call on Tuesday, the 27th of May, 2014. The time is 14:02 UTC, and we will start this call with a roll call. Gisela, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. Well, on today's call on the English channel, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Kijani Benjamin, Maureen Hilliard, Eduardo Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Holly Raich, Baron Gillen, Sandra Hoferichter, Jean-Jacques Subrenat, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Cyranush Vardanyan, Alan Skews, Anthony Mingani. On the French channel we have Aja Watara, and new to the ALAC call is Russian interpretation. We're very proud to announce that we have a Russian channel moving forward. And on our Russian channel today, we have Oksana Pliotko. We also have Julie Hammer and Murray McKercher on the call. Apologies today noted from Judith Hellerstein, Fatima Cambronero, Pierre Dormoni, and Roberto Gaetano. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Young, Kathy Schnitt, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today on the French channel are Claire and Camilla, on the Spanish channel, Veronica and David, and on the Russian channel, Galina. Leon Sanchez has also just joined the call. And if I could please remind you all to state your names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters on the three different language channels to identify you, and also to speak at a reasonable speed as we have live interpretation in French, Spanish, and Russian. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And, of course, my name is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, and I wanted to also add there is interpretation in English as well. For those people who are in the other channels. You always forget that, but it is one of the interpreted languages. Right, let's have a adoption of the agenda or asking for any other business or amendments to the agenda. I don't see anyone putting their hand up. It looks like the agenda is therefore adopted. And we can go immediately to agenda item number 3, which is the review of the ALAC action items of our last call, which was on the 29th of April, 2014. I invite you all to click on the agenda page and have a good look at the action items page, which thankfully has a lot of I would call them green ticks, but they're not actually green, but a lot of tick marks next to the action items that we have listed on there. First, the open action items, and we are only going to go, for the sake of saving time, through the action items which are yet to be completed. The first of the open action items is asking for Ariel Yang to work with Dave and Antilek Singh and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. That is still ongoing. The next unticked box is Cheryl Langdonor and Evan Leibovich to liaise with Rudy Van Znik in regards to the implementation of consumer metrics and follow up further details. Has there been progress in this? And I'm not sure who would wish to speak to this. Maybe Cheryl, would you be able to bring us a quick update on this, please?
Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. And as far as I know, there has been no furthering of this, although it may be that I, for some reason, have been out of the loop, but I am unaware of any action on this item at all.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Let's see, is our Evan or Rudy on the call? Perhaps there was action after all. I don't see Rudy on the call, and neither do I see Evan at the moment, so we will have to leave this one unticked. Could I just ask, Cheryl, if you could please just send a note to the other two people listed on this action item and find out the status. Hopefully, there will be some action for the next time we have a call or the time we meet face-to-face.
Yes, I will. Cheryl, for the record, yes.
Thank you. Next, staff can monitor the use of additional languages over the course of a few months. As ALAC, APRAL, and LAC round of calls will be offered additional language interpretation by the language services. I turn over to staff to provide us with details of what they have found. And perhaps I should ask for Heidi specifically then, if no staff is ready to start speaking. Maybe we'll ask for Heidi specifically. Heidi, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you, Olivier. I'm about to give the floor back to Gisela, but in my understanding that these new languages have just started. In fact, I believe Russian is the first new language. So once we have about a month behind us, we'll let you know what the results are in terms of how many people are on the language, on these new language channels. Gisela, if you wanted to add anything to that, feel free.
Yes, Gisela here for the transcript. If I may, we will be adding Chinese, hopefully after the London meeting, all going well.
Ooh. Fantastic. Okay, thank you very much. Let's move to the next, let's leave this one unticked then and see until the next time. Now, the next unchecked box is for the ALAC to create an ad hoc task force or a working group at the upcoming ALAC call to organize the selection of two ALAC reps to the transition of NTIA stewardship of the IANA functions. And there are a whole number of sub-items underneath that. Could I ask staff to provide us with an update on where we are with this, please?
Yes, this is Heidi for the record. Calls for the subcommittee to select the two people were sent last week, and another one for the committee itself. A stewardship issues working group was also sent last week, and the deadlines are respectively this tomorrow, the 28th, and Friday, the 30th. Thank you, Olivier.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking. Could you please send a reminder to the lists, except, of course, if we've got too many people volunteering forward. I have seen some volunteers, and their emails have reached. I hope that someone is collecting those and building the working groups as we go along. Could you confirm this, please?
Heidi, for the record, I believe Ariel was asked to do that, and I'm sure she is. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Ariel, you have the floor.
Hello, everyone. This is Ariel speaking. Yes, I have been keeping record of the people who volunteered for this steering committee, subcommittee, and I also updated their information on the wiki page and subscribed them to the mailing list.
Okay, thank you, Ariel. And there, just to remind you, there are two separate paths, I understand. One is the working group and one is the subcommittee for selecting people that will go onto the steering committee. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, excellent. Well, if you could please send a reminder to the list, and that will ensure that we've got plenty of people who will be involved in this essential work that will take place in the forthcoming months. Now, if we, I could open the floor for anyone who has any comments on those open action items. Seeing no one put their hand up at the moment, let's scroll further down this very, very long page. You will note there are quite a few recently closed action items, and thanks very much for all the people, and including staff, have had an enormous number of things to do. In there, you'll notice it's all done. We still have some newly assigned action items from our last call, and some are still not complete yet. First, the new GTLD working group is to analyze the input on the PABs and suggest the next step by contacting at-large staff. Now, that's something we will be dealing with a little bit later during the current call. There is an agenda item on this, so let's put this to the side. the next unchecked box is for RALO leaders to follow up on the at-large structures to be decertified, listed on the wiki page. And that's also an item in our agenda later on in the call, so we can put this to the side too. And finally, Natalie Peregrine to post the new online ELS application info on a wiki space viewable to the public and publicize the wiki space. And I understand that this is also later on in our call.
Heidi, please go ahead. Actually, that item was removed from the end of the
thanks
agenda.
Thanks for telling me.
over the weekend. Natalie's on the call, but I'm happy to update you if Natalie is not able to come on. Just give her one more moment.
Heidi, this is Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi. Yes, this is Natalie. We're very, very close to having the ALS application form ready to be posted on the wiki space. However, we first needed to clear things with legal regarding the rewording of certain items of the application form. So there were several phone calls last week, and we're getting the final validation today. I'm expecting it any time today, given that yesterday was a U.S. bank holiday. Once this is validated, I'll be working with tech support, and they claimed it will be very, very quick to get the actual application form posted on the wiki. The minute that's done, I will send an email out announcing it to everyone.
Okay, thank you very much, Natalie. And that is our last action item on our action item page. So I open the floor again for any comments. Seeing no hands up, that means we can move on and finish with the action items and go swiftly to something that links in directly with the at-large structure application form. And that's the review of the current ALS applications. And so back to Natalie Peregrine to take us through these, please.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Natalie. So we welcomed the application number 198, ISOC Venezuela, just yesterday. This is a Laqualo ALS, so welcome. We have a Neuralo ALS application vote starting today at 23:59. Manitoba E-Association. This vote will close next Tuesday on the 3rd of June at 23:59 UTC again. The due diligence was finished for application number 203, which was in a follow application. So Open Source Foundation for Nigeria, this due diligence has been sent to the follow secretariat, and we're awaiting regional advice whenever is possible. We also received finally the translation of the application form for ISOC Chad, which is our most recent application. It's the FOALO 1, number 204. As we've received the application form translation, we'll be starting due diligence today. And I understand that Sylvia, my colleague, is still awaiting news regarding due diligence for application number 202, which is the Laqualo application from Panama. And that's where we stand right now.
Thank you very much, Nathalie. It's Olivier speaking, and a very, very warm welcome to our recently certified at-large structures. There appears to be a real push at the moment for more applications to arrive, and it's great to see that there is a growth. If you recall, we had started, I think, at the beginning of the year with just about 160 at-large structures. We are now on 177, and more countries are being served, which is really, really great to see. So I really look forward to seeing much involvement from the new ALS participants. And look forward to seeing the results of the due diligence on all of the applications that are currently pending. And how great is it to see that these are applications from all over the world. It really, truly is a very diverse set of stakeholders. I open the floor to questions and comments, and I note Tijani Benjamin has put his hand up. So, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Natalie, you didn't speak about 170. Why? University Community Partnership for Social Action Research.
Yeah, this is Heidi. It's actually 170. And that one is sort of in a comatose state. That one actually was submitted some time ago. I think it was late last year. And then it was indicated that the person who submitted it for that organization had not authorized the submission. So we need to go ahead and continue following up with that organization to see if they do wish to actually apply.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Heidi, and thanks for raising this point, Tijani, and I hadn't seen this. Indeed, very strange to see we're in the 200 marks already, whilst we have an application or application number 170. But that's fine. Any other questions or comments? Tijani, you have your hand still up. You wish to comment further?
No, it is a problem of Adobe Connect. My connection is very bad, so I cannot lower my hand. This is the problem.
Well, you have successfully performed the lowering of the hand just now, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So just one more word. Certainly, it's great to see more ALS applications coming in. I think that there is still sometimes some confusion as to whether an ALS or whether an organization should be certified or not, or should be accepted by the ALAC. I note a discussion that took place a few hours ago on the LACRALA call about this. As you know, LACRALA was unable to provide LACRALA leadership was unable to provide a consensus position for the application, for one of the applications that are listed here. And so it's one of these things where you have to go with your gut feeling, I guess. But at some point, I think, and perhaps even during the ATLAS 2, there should be a discussion about this and about the exact way to find out if an ALS is going to be accepted or not. It's not exact science, but it certainly is an important thing. As you can see, there is a lot of growth in our communities. Now, one more thing that has been noted in the Adobe Connect chat, and that's that crop is very fruitful. And indeed, I must say, a lot of the this really is a lot of the results from the crop program. To me, it looks like another really successful program that has been started. And as you know, it was a pilot program. I'm not sure whether the second year will also be pilot or whether it's going to be losing the one of the two P's that it currently has. But I'd like to see that second P go. Because it certainly seems to have worked very well for us.
Olivier?
Let's move on. Yes, Tijani, go ahead.
I am sorry, my connection now, Adobe Connect don't work on my screen. That's why I didn't raise my hand. I'd like to say that for this question of certification of the ALSs, and since there were a lot of problems this year and last year and the year before, I suggest that we engage a deep discussion about that inside the at-large community. Better to do it in the ALAC, inside the ALAC members before, and then perhaps to enlarge it to the wider at-large community. I don't feel very happy with what happened right now, because we had conflict before between the regions and ALAC, and this is not something that have to happen. It's right that it is the right of the ALAC to certify, not the region. But I think that we need to have the same values, the same criteria, so the same result, the same decision. So we have to clarify that perhaps by a deep discussion inside the at-large community, and to come up with some new rules to make it happen in the future, I hope.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next is Jean-Jacques Subrenard.
Hello, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. Sorry, my Adobe Connect connection went off for about 20 minutes, but I'm back now. On the point that Tijani has just raised, I wish to support his suggestion, but also indicate that this is one of the themes which comes up every now and then on the board discussions among board members about the importance or not of having a set of criteria for these certification things. Maybe it would be worthwhile asking our staff to check with the board staff if there has been any recent movement on this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Next we have, a lot of people on the list. Okay, let's go through everyone and then we'll address some of the points that were made. Alberto Soto is next. Alberto, you have the floor.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Good morning to you all. As a member of LACRALO, I would like to tell you that this item has already been included in our agenda for the General Assembly in London, and we are even working on a kind of procedure for LACRALO, and it will be issued before the meeting because our agenda needs to be ready 7 days before the meeting. And so the thing is that, unfortunately, we had a very, very heated discussion, especially for some of the ALSs, and unfortunately, this was due to the fact that there was an introduction of political issues, really political, not policy issues, and it was too heated for our liking. We have allowed this discussion. We do not really have a restriction for this. We are trying to reduce this level, but also to have something that is a bit more defined to have an opinion on the acceptance or not of an ALS. And we know that ALAC is the one to decide, although we would like to contribute to that decision. The last ALS had 10. We didn't really reach a general consensus, so we actually had 10 opinions in favor and 10 against. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alberto. Olivier speaking. So next we have Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I guess I support the concept of reviewing our both processes and the qualifications because it hasn't been done for a long time, and I think that needs to be done on a regular, semi-regular basis. But I'll point out that the wording we have right now was established after very, very significant discussion and was deliberately written to allow flexibility because across the regions, both the culture and the realities of life in many of our countries is such that an ALS will take a different structure in one place than it will than another. Those who wanted, to make sure we didn't let anyone in that didn't meet their qualifications wanted a much tighter set of rules, which wouldn't work in other regions. And therefore, they were worded somewhat flexibly and allowed discretion to decide whether an ALS is truly a good ALS or not. That inevitably leads to differences of opinion because it's not completely cut and dried. And deliberately so. So although I support reviewing these things, I think it needs to be done in the context of we are not going to have a a tight set of rules which everyone will interpret the same. At least I don't expect that to come out of it. And therefore, there's always, I think, going to be some discussions about whether does a particular group meet what we want an ALS to be. And there's going to be judgment calls involved. So although I support the review, I'm not convinced that the outcome will be different words, but I'm not sure it will be that much more certain and controlled. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. So hearing the discussions, very interesting discussions that I've just heard now, it looks as though there might be some real worth in each one of the RALOs to discuss this matter on a RALO level first during their face-to-face general assembly. It sounds like a really good topic to discuss to see if the accepting criterion for the region are working out for the region or whether there is a problem with this acceptance criterion. I'm very well aware of the difference in the way each region works and also the cultural difference and the perceptive or the difference in perception that people have. And I think that perhaps for the RALOs to discuss this first and then for the RALOs to share this information with each other, either through the Secretariat's meeting or perhaps through one of the sessions, short session that we could have in London, although I'm not quite sure when we would be able to have this short session in London. Perhaps a follow-up conference call after London. But it looks as though a review, there is some interest for a review, whilst at the same time I understand that historically there has been already considerable amount of discussion on this in the past. And that's often the case for things like this. And of course, as you know, later on in this call, we will be discussing the delisting of at-large structures. And that's another concern I personally have, including some ELSs which I recall having voted to ratify and to get them to join at large, and suddenly it looks as though we have problems with being able to bring those people from that ELS to London just a couple of years down the line. What has happened? Why have circumstances changed perhaps? Have personal circumstances changed for the ELS representative as well? There needs to be something done so as for us to be able to have more active ALSs and also not be turned away, I guess, by some ALSs that appear to be losing interest in, and maybe not totally suited to this kind of environment. Anyway, the discussion needs to be taken further. Alberto Soto, you have the floor.
And I ask for the floor too.
Okay.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. I agree with what you have just said. Within the CRALO, we are modifying other procedures. We have had many problems with non-active ALSs. And so we have tried to define what active ALSs are, and the public comment period is open for to talk about the modification to procedures. And we have established some procedures within our regions to say what is that we consider an active ALS, and if these requirements are not complied with, then the ALSs will not be able to send representatives to a face-to-face meeting. And so this active classification can also be recovered following the same procedure within the following year. We have also defined what we consider active participation of an ALS member, and this will allow them to run for an elective position within the region or within ICANN. We have a lot of consensus in this sense, and we hope to be able to approve this before the London Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alberto, and I really look forward to seeing the results of this work. It certainly is something which I think many of the other radios will be looking at with very much interest as well. Next is Tijani Benchema, and then we'll close this topic and we'll move on, because otherwise we will have wasted too much time or taken too much time on this. The clock is ticking. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Alan, I didn't say that we need to change the rules. I said that we need to engage a discussion, a deep discussion, try to learn from our problems, from the problems we just faced this year, these two last years. So it is more or less a brainstorm about all the issues, all problems, why we had those problems, what is the difference between the perception of the RALU and the perception of ALAK, where is the problem, and perhaps this can lead to additional rules. This can lead to modifying the rules. This can not lead to any change in the rules, but just have better understanding for both sides. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Last in the queue, Alan Greenberg.
Yep, it's Alan speaking. Just to be clear, Tijani, I'm agreeing with you 100%. I was just giving a bit of historical background for those who weren't around 7 years ago when we last had this discussion. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Alan. And so that closes the review of the current ELS applications. And so now we will move over to the reports. I invite you all to have a look at the at-large reports from the working groups and from the RALOs and the liaisons. And speaking of liaisons, we will start with our CPNSO liaison, Maureen Hilliard, and ask for your quick summarized report. Maureen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I have my report up. Firstly, there is still some confirmation to be had on our joint meeting that we normally have. Things are pretty tight in London, of course, as we all know, and I think the last time I heard we're considering a breakfast meeting with the council, so that's still to be confirmed, and I'll get back to everyone on that. There was a promotion for a DNS forum that's happening just before the meeting, and I've put some information on that in case anybody was interested in attending. We have... the meetings that I've attended for CTNSO over the last few weeks include the council meeting, and I note with great pleasure that Marshall Islands has joined from the Northern Pacific. And just a few comments about the working groups that I've included in the report. More information on that meeting will come later. And the other meeting was the Freedom of Interpretation Working Group, which is in its the last phases of that working group as they prepare a set of recommendations to accompany their revocation report, which will go to the GAC in London. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Are there any questions for our CPNSO liaison? Seeing no hands up, I just note some new members of the CCNSOs, and I think that's really great to see. On the one hand, we have new at-large structures, and the CCNSO also has new members. It certainly shows big growth all across of ICANN, and it's absolutely great to see. And thank you for your report, Maureen. Next, we turn to our GNSO liaison, and his name is Alan Greenberg. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. The report from the last GNSO meeting has been up on the web since the meeting, and there's not been a lot of other activity since then that needs to be reported. I do want to focus a little bit, though, on one of the decisions during that last meeting, because I think it shows a very large change from what has happened in the past, and although it is not a precedent, it is an interesting happening. You will recall that there was a board request for comments on Specification 13, which gives brand.brand owners the ability to be more selective with registrars. And the board passed the approval of Specification 13 with the exception of the statement on registrars, and went to the GNSO and gave them something like 45 days to either say whether they agree or disagree with the implementation of that statement regarding restrictions on registrars, or if they needed more time. In the past, asking the GNSO to come up with a decision in 45 days would have been almost impossible, partly because of the time limit and partly because, in general, the GNSO has not taken decisions unilaterally but always chartered working groups and such to go off and do something. In this case, the ultimate decision, and there was a very large amount of debate, the ultimate decision narrowly was to tell the board, new GTLD committee, that the change that they were suggesting was a departure from policy. That is, the specific issue was discussed at the time. It was decided against. Therefore, it could not be considered something which simply hadn't been discussed, but was a departure from policy. That notwithstanding, the GNSO Council supports the adoption of this procedure of this policy, essentially saying they are changing, agreeing to allow the policy to be changed. The motion was not supported by the registrars, was not supported by NCSG, but did get the majority needed to approve it. And I think this has significant repercussions on the discussions that will be held in the Policy and Implementation Working Group, because although this is not a precedent, it is an example, and it's going to, I think, change the tone of some of the discussions, not sure which way. So it's a rather momentous decision, both on the substance of the decision and the fact that the GNSO could come to closure in the time frame that was given to actually do it. So I think it indicates, I think, good things about the GNSO, that they are acknowledging and able to work in the world that we're living in. And also, I think, portends or foretells some rather interesting discussions and very substantive discussions on how GNSO policy can be set in a world where things change and we don't always understand things completely at the time that when we're making decisions initially. So it's, I think, a very interesting occurrence. That's about all I have right now.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Just one quick question. How does this translate to the Internet end user? How might this affect the Internet end user?
Virtually none at all.
Okay, it's more of a procedural thing than effectively.
It's purely the business relationship between registrars and registries. The registrars claimed that although more convoluted, the registry, the .brand registries could get almost what they wanted through existing rules. But, you know, clearly the registries did not agree that it was equivalent. It has virtually nothing to do with end users. It will not change one iota the end result. It's just a procedural issue of, you know, how are registrars and are all registrars treated completely equally in terms of addressing registration of .brand names. So it's not a user issue from the perspective of the details of this decision. It is potentially a user issue, however, from the perspective that the GNSO
is looking at ways to respond to policy questions which are different from the traditional ones. So the next one that comes up, which could come to the GNSO for a decision like this, might well be a user issue. And that's a positive. I think that's a positive thing, that the GNSO is being flexible in these kinds of cases, whether you agree or disagree with the contents of the specific issue. I think in the changing world, some level of flexibility is necessary.
Thank you very much for this, Alan. It's Olivia speaking, and I open the floor for questions or comments regarding Alan's report. Seeing no one putting their hand up, let's then move on to our other report, and that's a report from our .mobi liaison. As you know, we appointed a .mobi liaison a few months ago, and it's good to keep up to date with what's going on in the .mobi world. So, Murray Lukasha, you are on the call. You have the floor. And I note that Murray is getting linked to audio at the moment. I was hoping you would already be linked. Okay. We'll come back to you later then if we don't have audio with you, right? Let's move on then to the next part of our call. And this is going to be, just before we close on the reports, just I wanted to have a round of applause and thanks for all of the Railo reports that we've received. I think nearly all of them are up to date, but it's great, and I understand there's so much going on Railo level at the moment with the preparation for the at-large summit. I guess there are just so many reports and so many things to report on. It's hard, but it's good to see just a few words on the Railo activities. Let's move on. I see Julie Hammer has got her hand up. Yes, I was going to say, let's move on to our next liaison report. That's the ESAC liaison. And so, Julie, you now have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. I thought for a moment there you might have skipped me. In fact, there is not a great deal to report, but that doesn't mean that there has not been a great deal of activity. I've been participating in three different ESSAC work parties. One, the Identifier Abuse Work Party, is working on its report, which I think is probably still some way off. The JAS Report Work Party has been very active with another three meetings in the last month, two of which have been with ICANN staff and the JAS team. There's been a lot of discussion in working through issues that are probably best looked at behind the scenes rather than in public. And finally, I've been on the work party planning the ESSAC activity for the London meeting. I just mention here that ESSAC have offered to meet at any time between 14:30 and 16:15 on the Monday afternoon, and we're just still waiting to hear back from Heidi and staff on what time you would like them to meet. And I think the only other activity was my participation in the security and stability webinar, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and I appreciate everyone who linked into that one. So that's my report. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you very much, Julie. And may I ask staff, since you have mentioned the Monday afternoon meeting with the ESAC, or at least with the ESAC chair, as I understand, do we have any update on this, Heidi, please?
Sorry, everyone. This is Heidi. I was unmuting. No, not yet. And that's something I need to follow up with Julie Hedlund, the ESAC staff report on that. And I will do so today.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Heidi. I think it's Olivia speaking. I think we have isolated a time. We did say a time for it. So let's try and get this done within the next week, please. So we make sure that things will move. Just one note with regards to the scheduling on this Monday afternoon. There's been some discussion with regards to the high interest topics that the railos usually bring up on the Monday afternoon. That appears to now not be taking place because most of the SO and AC chairs and SG chairs as well, so the stakeholder group chairs, have also said that the Monday is going to be very, very busy indeed. So that might bring a little bit more space to our agenda as well for if we need to find some more time for this specifically. Now, I note that Murray is on, so let's see if we can have his very short, I guess, very short report with regards to the .MOB liaison.
Thank you, Olivier. It's Murray McCritcher speaking for the record. It is a very short report. There was a .MOB policy advisory board meeting on the 13th of March, and I did publish some notes about that. Basically, a review of the charter. Another meeting was not set, and there was an agreement that we would be doing teleconference as opposed to face-to-face meetings at ICANN gatherings, only because most of the members are busy with a number of ICANN meetings at the same time. So we have not scheduled the second. The only item coming out of the first meeting was regards to ICANN's RSEP bulk transfers as it related to .MOBI, and there was some waiting on ICANN legal in that regard. So I'll publish a more detailed report, but that's it in summary. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray. And so I open the floor for any questions on both the .MOBI liaison report and the ESAC liaison report as well. I haven't seen anyone put their hand up, so that closes our section on the liaison report, and I really thank all of our liaisons who do an enormous amount of work in the community that they are liaising with. It's hard to do so much in at large because there's just so much going on, but at the same time being in the other community relaying information back and forth is very important and is very welcome. So let's have a look back on our agenda and move to the next item, and that's the new business item for decision. And here we have a list of recently adopted ALAC statements and a list of statements currently being developed and reviewed and voted on and so on by the ALAC. I don't think there is much worth in going through a detailed list of the recently adopted ALAC statements. It's very interesting to see that there are six of them in the past month. We've seen a real growth in the number of statements that have been sent out. In fact, it's more than six in the past month, since we've also had the four parts of the ICANN strategy panels. So that makes an all-time record, probably, for at-large and for the ALAC. As you can see, there's been much support for all of the statements that are drafted there. I'd like to really thank the people holding the pen on these. And it's good to see that we are able to share the load. There are more people involved in holding the pen, and I just want to remind you all that you do not need to be an ALAC member to hold the pen and draft the first draft.
you can be an at-large member, you can be in a working group, you can, everyone is very welcome, as long, of course, as you are able to sustain the taking the statement from the beginning all the way to the time when it gets voted on by the ALAC. First draft, obtaining the feedback, etc. But of course, staff is at hand to help you out with the wiki space, etc. Let's go to the statements or endorsement currently being developed, and then afterwards I'll open the floor for discussion or questions on any of those statements, including if anybody wishes to add a few words to the recently adopted ALAC statements. So now, the ALAC is currently working on the ICANN draft 5-year strategic plan, fiscal year 16 to fiscal year 20. There is a first draft that is on the page, and that's been that's up for comment. There has been an extension with regard to the closing date for the comments on this. So as you will note, the comment closing date is now the 27th of June. There is much more time on this. There has been some discussion taking place on the mailing list, and it's understood that the statement needs to be lengthened a little bit. So a little bit more will be added to it shortly. I invite you all to comment on the statement that is already there on the wiki page. Next, the fiscal year 15 operating plan and budget. The ALAC is still considering drafting a statement on this. It is worth noting that the Finance and Budget Subcommittee works usually on any finance and budgeting issues. And there have been several calls that were organized by ICANN Finance to build a kind of a community calls to be able to obtain feedback and explain parts of the plan itself. The calls have been very well attended by members of the at-large Finance and Budget Subcommittee. So I'm not really sure whether the FDSC would like to produce a draft feedback or whether this was seen to be enough. No further feedback would be sent back to ICANN Finance on this. And I look forward to hearing a little bit about this in a few moments. The Notice of Preliminary Determination to Grant Registrar Data Retention Waiver Requests is another public comment request that has landed on our table. The ALAC is currently considering drafting a statement, and by this, I guess, because it has to do with registrar data retention waiver requests, that is probably something to do with the registrant working group or with our GNSO liaison who could enlighten us on this. I see Alan Greenberg. Oh, I've missed Tijani earlier, and I see Holly Reich. I see there's much interest in this. So let's start with Tijani. Maybe he's going to speak to us about the previous topic, and then we'll move back to Alan Greenberg and Holly Reich. Tijani Vanjema, you have the floor.
Yes, exactly, Olivier. Thank you. Tijani speaking. I'd like to speak about the budget and the operating plan. I think that ALAC should submit a statement or a comment for this public comment. Even if it is, we are satisfied, it is good, it is a good evolution, it is better than last year, we can say that if we will say that. But we have to comment on it. And since the deadline will be the 1st of July, okay. I think that I can make the draft perhaps before London or just the last day of London to submit something to your consideration.
Thank you very much, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking, so let's put you down then as the pen holder for this. And now I turn to Alan Greenberg next, who will probably be commenting on the Notice of Preliminary Determination to Grant Registrar Data Retention Waiver Requests. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Alan speaking.
We have made statements on that before, saying that we believe ICANN should allow registrars to obey their national laws, but I don't really think there's any necessity for it in this case. You know, I cannot imagine it not going through, so I don't think it needs our support. And you know, we make enough statements. I don't think one is warranted on this in this case. But if we made a short one saying we support it, it would be in line with previous statements. But I really don't think it's necessary. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. And next is Holly Reich.
Thank you, Olivier, and thank you, Alan. Look, I'd be happy to take Alan's advice. We were thinking about doing a statement, particularly since there is another comment sought on three applications under the policy. It wasn't clear in my mind why the statement was required, since in fact there seems to be an ongoing policy, but certainly Carlton and I were quite prepared to have a look and see if there's anything that needs to be said, particularly since there's been a couple of really important EU decisions since then, and having a look at whether there's sort of can tie in with some of the privacy proxy stuff. But look, I'm happy to work with Alan offline just to see if actually it's worth it or not. So Alan, I'll tic-tac with you later, if that's okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Holly. And if you could please just immediately after this call, just check this with Alan and come back to us soon with a decision on this. That would be great. And next, the who is requirements and national law conflicts. Now that's an interesting topic, and that obviously has direct implication with end users, with the new who is requirements of having exact data. And this data being made available to everyone, that certainly has privacy issues. And some national law does not allow for these issues. So interesting topic. I wonder whether there should be a statement on this. Perhaps I could ask Holly Reich about that.
Thank you, Holly Reich, for the records. I certainly was thinking that it probably is worth a look. There just seems to be a lot of, I suppose, privacy issues that are interrelated. There's certainly the privacy proxy stuff. There's the EWG. Happy to have a look at this and see if there's something in there that we should say in addition to anything that we might say on the requirements on national law conflicts. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Holly. And I would suggest maybe some of our European colleagues might wish to look at this. I know that privacy issues are very strong points at the moment being developed by the European Parliament and pan-European law. So it would be good if they could come back to you or come back to staff as well, or indeed comment on the wiki page itself if they believe that something should be drafted about this. And finally, the enhancing ICANN accountability. Again, the ALAC is considering drafting a statement on this. And I see that Tijani Benjamin has put his hand up. So, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. The deadline is 30 of May. So I do think that we need to ask for extension. If we want to comment on it, and I think it is something that we need to comment on.
So thank you very much, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. The enhancing ICANN accountability comment period for the initial comment period closes on the 30th of May. You're quite correct, but the reply closing date is the 21st of June. So that gives us a little bit more time, and if the ALAC believes that there needs to be a statement from the ALAC on this topic, then we could ask Ariel to just provide or send an email to the staff member in charge to say that the ALAC will be submitting its statement in the reply period. I have lost track of whether we've already asked this or not, and I might have to ask Ariel Liang, if we've already notified Teresa Schweinhoff about the possibility of sending something during the reply period on this topic. Ariel?
Hello, everyone. This is Ariel speaking. Yes, I already sent an email to notify Teresa about sending a statement during the reply period.
Aha. Thank you very much, Ariel. It's Olivia speaking. So that's good. We have already notified. So we do have time until the period closes. I note that Jean-Jacques Subana has put his hand up. So Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques Subrena. Olivier, just to point out that I got the email notification or request from Ariel Young and have replied today by email. So there are a few indications on content which I suggested. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. I gather, so this is, will you be coming back to us soon or?
This is Jean-Jacques. Well, I'm waiting now for Ariel to tell me what you have decided in what form it will be integrated into. I think you were envisaging a special call on the 28th or 29th of May, is that so? And if so, I'll be at your disposal.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Indeed, and I was going to mention this a bit later, but yes, that's correct. There are two streams that will take place regarding enhancing ICANN accountability. The first one is the one where we are going to be meeting with the as part of ATLAS 2 in London, and there will be a big discussion about this. But also in the last ILAC call or the last call that we had, there was an interest, so much interest in this topic that we are going to have a special purpose call on this specifically, and that will probably be the time when we can build a statement. So I think that the ILAC, you know, my gut feeling is the ILAC will be submitting a statement on this topic. We have had a presentation that was done already, I forget if it was last week or the week before last week, by Sébastien Bachelet and by Teresa Schweinhoff. So we have that as a starting material, but now we need to be discussing this and we need to basically put pen to paper and come up with a statement on this. So that's ongoing as well. Now, looking at our agenda page, we have gone through the statements currently being developed. There are two additional currently open public comments. There was one on the proposed implementation of the GNSO PDP recommendations on the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. And this is the revised UDRP rules. In interim discussions between the GNSO liaison, Alan Greenberg, and myself, Alan has told us there is no need for a statement. And then the board member compensation is another public comment where this was announced and there was very little discussion initially on this. So this was marked as no statement. But recently there has been much discussion about this in the ALAC internal list, which is because it might deal with issues of board member, well, as it says, board member compensation and so on. I frankly don't understand why it's on the internal list, but maybe there's a reason for that. The question of what's come up in the discussion is whether the ALAC should be drafting a statement on this or whether individual members of at large should all draft recommendations and send those over to the public comment. I open the floor for questions and comments on these. And I don't see anyone putting their hand up. So,
Olivier, it's Alan. My hand is up. I don't. Maybe not on your screen.
I can't see it on my screen, I'm afraid. So, yes, go ahead, Alan, please.
Thank you. Regarding why I'm the one who sent the note to the internalist. I sent it to the internalist because I was looking for personal opinions from ALAC members and Railo officials, and I didn't want to make do something that was publicly archived until I decided whether I was going to do something and what I was going to do. So that's why I put it on the private list. In light of what I'm saying, for those who haven't seen it, is that although I agree completely that board members and liaisons deserve the compensation that some of them receive and we're talking about for others, I think that it is quite inappropriate that we continue to increase the perks and benefits for board members without any acknowledgement of the work that others do, in some cases as much work as board members or many board members put in other cases even more. And although chairs are given the one benefit of business class travel to ICANN meetings, the gulf between the benefits that board members get and the benefit that others in the community who put equal amounts of time into it get, I think, is quite inappropriate. I have revised the statement, and I will be sending it out. I'll put it on the public ALAC list, and I'll be putting it onto the public comment form. I do want to get this out quickly because I want to offer the opportunity for other people in the community to see it and maybe comment on it. And I did ask if anyone else on the ALAC wanted to, on the ALAC internal list, wanted to co-sign it. I had a few people who said yes. Since I've changed it relatively substantially in light of the comments to make sure there were no misunderstandings, because some people misunderstood what I was asking for, in thinking I was asking for every volunteer to be paid, and that clearly is not likely to happen in the near future, and I'm not that much of a dreamer. I am making a change in it, and I will submit it purely on my own, but I do encourage anyone in the community who likes what I'm saying to submit a comment saying they support it, with reservations or completely. Now, whether the ALAC should submit a statement, I don't know. I think that's a decision the ALAC will have to make. Whether the formal body supports that or not, I personally think the ALAC should comment on something like this, because I think it affects ALAC's ability and, in fact, ICANN's ability to get committed volunteers. And I strongly believe that volunteers have to be acknowledged and thanked, and money is not the only way to do that, of course. But it's got to be more than what we're doing right now. So I would support the ALAC doing something, but I don't really want to try to influence what the ALAC says based on what I'm saying. So I will submit it, and individuals can support it, or the ALAC indeed could support it if the ALAC chooses. But I don't really want to try to influence that decision, and I would abstain if the issue comes to a formal vote of the ALAC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next is Jean-Jacques Subrenard.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. I responded to Alan's email after having read several other comments, especially Sandra Hoffenrichter's comment, which I approved, and therefore I wanted to go even a bit beyond what Sandra was suggesting. So, in a word, I said that we cannot really decide about compensation if we don't look at the future shape of ICANN. What is it that we're looking at? ICANN and the Internet are currently in flux. There are many, many changes occurring, or which may occur in the coming months. So we have to take that into account and try to anticipate on what ICANN is heading for. If we continue in what I called pioneer mode, with volunteers doing a lot of very basic stuff, which perhaps could be done otherwise, fine, then we need a very clear compensation scheme. If, however, we think that we should all use the current flux in order to give other priorities to ICANN and perhaps change the working method as far as volunteers are concerned, more upstream, more in aid to decision-making by the board, perhaps less in detail. In that case, I would go along with Evan's proposal or remark that actually a lot can be done by improving the conditions which are offered the volunteers in their volunteer work, such as better travel arrangements, etc., without going to what is called compensation, in other words, payment. I sent an email in response to Alan today. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. Next in the queue is Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. I didn't understood that Alan asked for a compensation for himself or for any other ALAC member or for any other volunteer. He was only highlighting that the gap between the in consideration between the board members and the other volunteers who are sometimes doing more work than some of the ICANN board members. I think this is something very really true, and I do support it, and I supported it. So there is a misunderstanding, and I think that the new version will clarify that. For me, I think that ALAC has to have a comment on this, and if it is not a statement from ALAC, ALAC can support a statement written by Alan Ober or by any other one who is well-balanced. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. For clarity, yes, Tijani is right on. Although certainly compensation for all volunteers or all heavily working volunteers, if you could identify them, would be a delightful thing. Certainly my bank account would appreciate it. That's not likely to happen in the near future, and that's not what I was suggesting. What I'm saying is continuing to add things on the board level without any acknowledgement or any consideration for the rest of the volunteers is what I was identifying as problematic. As an example, and I'll give it because Olivier won't, the fact that a board member can choose to come a day early because after flying halfway around the world they want to be well rested before they actually start their work is something which is completely accepted. But for the rest of the volunteers, including chairs, that's not a decision that we're allowed to make because we can't be trusted to make it. And that's the kind of, an example of the kind of issue that I think needs to be highlighted. The statement that I've reworked will make that clearer, and I'll be sending that out to the ALAC list shortly. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. And I note that the queue is moving and it is growing again, so I'll close the queue now. I noted that Evan wanted to put his hand up still there, so I've still got Sandra and Evan in the queue, and then we'll have a consensus call on this, since these are items for decision. So, Sandra, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I'm going to the speaking. Can you hear me?
Oh, very badly at the moment. We can hardly hear you. Your voice sounds very muffled indeed. Please get out of the underwater pool that you are in.
Is it better now?
I think it's going to be hard.
It's good enough. Let's hear what you want to say.
Go ahead, Sandra, yes.
Okay. I do apologize if I got the email perfect wrong, but for a non-native speaker, compensation is about money. So I absolutely agree that we should, of course, see that the value of a volunteer is giving to a community should be about, should be appreciated by the rest of the community. Travel support is one issue, but there are others as well. Also the way we are sometimes left aside, or the way people are talking to us or about us. So I think this is a thing we really have to work on, and anybody who is putting in voluntary work to any community should get appreciation for that. Unfortunately, the world is not appreciating this enough, I think. However, I think working on the travel guidelines, if I can, should be done on that floor.
Yes? Sandra? Sorry to interrupt, it's Giesler here. Olivier, apologies for interrupting the call, but currently there's no interpretation because we're not able to hear Sandra on the language channels.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case. It's Olivier speaking. I thought it would be a bit hard for the interpreters to hear you, Sandra. I understand you are going through the points that you were making on the list. I also had trouble understanding part of what you said. I wonder whether you could maybe share this with us on, either on the chat, or if Dialout could go over to you. Yeah, Adobe Connect Audio doesn't seem to be working too well sometimes, and definitely not during the ELAC call. Yeah, if you can share it in an email, that would be great. Gisela, please, go ahead.
Sorry, it was just to ask Sandra if she would like a dial out, and in which case, just send us the number. Sorry, I see that she'll share it in an email. Thank you.
Thanks very much. And I think that we've reached the point where Evan has put his hand down. So, Evan, I believe you don't want the floor anymore, or is my AC room playing up again?
Well, Olivia, this is Evan for the record. Most of what I wanted to say has been said. I have noticed that I just wanted to make one quick mention of the fact that At Large is in a fairly awkward position here because, you know, the ICANN concept of volunteerism is a little bit skewed. A lot of the people that participate in ICANN are here because of their careers, either their business interests or their career interests. Require or is benefited by them being here. At Large, almost by definition, is almost unique within ICANN in not having that situation. So we come at this from a fairly interesting perspective, but I want to emphasize the point that has been made by Jean-Jacques and Ellen and elsewhere that, you know, in some ways, simply treating us a little bit more humanely in our volunteer activities when it comes to things like either travel consideration or other considerations goes a long way without having to get into the realm of direct compensation. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Evan. And I realize we're now starting to move into the travel issues and further away from the actual topic itself, the board member compensation part, but I also note that there is much interest in this discussion. And many
Olivia,
people sharing the views with you as well, Evan.
Well, I don't mean to interject, but it is relevant because on one hand, travel is travel and it's a very specific item, but it does go directly to the way that the volunteers community is treated by ICANN. So compensation, like I say, takes many forms. Treatment of volunteers takes many forms. And I think this whole concept that Alan has absolutely accurately raised about the concept of designating elite volunteers and non-elite volunteers is simply grating. Thanks.
Thanks very much. And I note more people are putting their hands up. We'll close the queue with Cheryl Langdonor, and then we'll go to a consensus call. Let's get a move on this. Cheryl?
Thank you, Olivier. It's Cheryl Langdonor for the record. This is a matter that's going to take a lot longer than this fall or indeed any number of others. it's a topic that could be raised in the appropriate forum in London that perhaps needs to be raised both in an online forum and in a future face-to-face forum at another ICANN meeting. And perhaps, Olivier, you and the leadership team could propose that this is a good conversation for a ICANN-wide community discussion, because it is very much, as Evan was just saying, it's a matter of recognition and treatment, not remuneration, and so we can split it away from cost recovery and cost concerns, where we will have, for example, parts that the organisation that feel they are over-committing their funds to fund processes that aren't directly benefiting them. So this is a bigger issue, but as someone who's managed volunteers for about 45 years of my life, in the adult world at least, and longer than that in youth, if you treat people with respect and recognition, you are getting far more value out of them. And in a recent board exercise where we have not changed the very small stipend, one tiny dollar in the last 8 to 10 years, and this is a tiny stipend for meetings, as we have improved the treatment and recognition of our hard-working board members, and in this case we could say any volunteer, we have got far greater participation and engagement. So it's a big issue, it's one that has to be worked on, but it's not going to be fixed now. Thanks
very much, Cheryl. And so let's have an action item for Olivier to take up the issue of volunteer recognition, I think is the sort of wider name for this, with
that,
the other...
Olivier, if I may, Cheryl, that does not mean yet another cute little paper certificate in the blue folder. That's not the recognition the volunteers require.
Correct. Yeah. So
Olivier,
what will call it then to stay away from this this name then, and then I'll come over to you, Alan, afterwards. Volunteer recognition. Volunteer what? What would you suggest as a name? Of volunteer.
Consideration.
Let's make it.
Recognition is another word we use. Recognition and consideration.
Recognition / consideration. So Olivia, to take up the issue of volunteer recognition / consideration with other SONAC chairs as an ICANN-wide issue. Alan Greenberg, and then we'll have a quick consensus call on this. We need to get moving. Alan?
I was just asking, is there a way to put up multiple tick marks and applauses to Cheryl's comment on another piece of paper in a blue folder? But I put that comment in the chat. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. I see applause as well from some people here, and I'm not quite sure. There's applause, tick marks, and et cetera. The community is very joyful today. Quick consensus call then. Does anyone object to the ALAC releasing an actual statement with regards to the board member compensation? If you object, could you please, all those ALAC members who are present, and I understand that there is quorum here, if you could, a big red cross next to your name if you object. This is not a vote, so we're not counting the vote. It's just to see if there is any objection. If there is no objection, I can see an objection at the moment with the ALAC drafting a statement on the board member compensation from Sandra Hoferichter. Sandra, I know it's hard for you to discuss this. We can barely hear you, but would you be able to drop in the chat your reasons for objecting to this?
Olivier, Sandra speaking. Can you hear me now?
Oh, very well now. Yes. Welcome. Now we can hear Sandra. Before, you were underwater.
I had to choose the right micro. I didn't know that there is a button to pick, so choose the other one or the other. So I'm sorry for that. The reason why I don't would like to put down a statement, because I think it will be misunderstood. And I feel sometimes the ALAG is always seen as those who are yelling and crying about being treated so badly. And I think we should earn our valuation by the community otherwise. With being self-confident, standing up for our issues, talking about the content and not about how do we feel we should be treated like in a better way. I don't like that thing of this is some, it feels like I'm begging for something, and I'm a proud volunteer and I'm not willing to beg. This is my very personal opinion. I know that others might object and I accept that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much, Sandra. And it's good to have heard your description, and now we can hear you clearly, finally. So there's objection from Sandra. Does anyone else object to this? Well, I tell you what, let's have someone pick up the pen. Let's see with Alan, put something on the wiki page and take it from there. If there is consensus on the wiki page, then we'll be able to, you know, we will have a statement moving forward on this. You have to remember, consensus doesn't mean unanimity. So at the same time, we'll have to see if there is agreement. If there isn't, then we will have just picked up the pen, and everyone will be asked to send their own comments if they wish to directly to the public comment period. Tijani Benjema, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. I don't think we need an unanimity or we need a full consensus. If there is a big, very big majority willing to write a statement, I think that we have to go and write it. That's all.
Thank you, Tijani. That's what I said, I think. But that's fine, yeah. Let's move forward then. So I will ask Ariel to please move this board member compensation wiki page back to the current statements or endorsement currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. And if I could ask Alan to pick up the pen on this, to put your short initial statement that you wanted to put on there, and we'll see, since of course none of the discussions that have taken place on the internal list are publicly consultable, we'll see if there's a little debate that will take place then on the wiki page and also on the ALAC public list. That would be great. Thank you. Let's move on, and apologies for the time that's been taken on this. We still have several items to look at. Next is a consensus call on the creation of the at-large curation working group. And this is a working group that we had alluded to during the last ALAC call, but we ran out of time to, it was still very early days. And so I would ask, who can I ask for this? Maybe I can ask Dave and Ann Tilak Singh to provide us with a quick summary of what this curation working group is about, or this proposed curation working group is about. Let me explain. Dave is currently holding the position of interim chair on this. Dave, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is David Antilak Singh speaking. So the at-large curation working group aims to raise awareness of the ICANN at-large community and enhance end users' engagement with the community, and by developing a strong and sustainable presence on social media. Curation working group has been set up. There was a call for volunteers, and I have to say that there's been a very strong response, about 18 persons. We still need some more persons, I think, from your RALO and LAC RALO. But So what we've begun to do is to work on the task for the curation working group, and the key task for the curation working group is to plan and draft some static content starting next that will be posted on social media in the next month, and also to create templates for fluid content, which is like the messages that come from the ALAC announced mailing list. I'll post a link in the chat, which is and really a huge thanks to Ariel Lang. We've put up a sort of curation workflow where we've broken up the task into several phases as to what type of content we want to post in the coming months, including the Atlas Summit in London. And we've already assigned persons to help come up with content, the static content there. We are going to have our next call on this Thursday, and so if anybody wishes to attend that call and is willing to help, please do. I think I've summarized it succinctly, I hope.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Dave. That's a very good introduction. Just one question. What is up with this name, Curation?
This is Dave. The idea, the reason why the word curation came about is because we needed to create content for social media. It's not just about the idea was just to really have content suitable for the target audience for social media, which is the not so experienced persons involved in ICANN at large and so forth. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. So this, I understand the working group has already had a first call. It was very well attended, and I listened in as an observer and felt it quite fascinating to see what the group was doing and the whole strategy for publishing tweets, etc., and all that. Very interesting. What I was going to ask of the ALAC present here is for a consensus call for the official creation of the at-large curation working group. So are there any objections to this curation working group being created? If there are any objections, put a red cross next to your name.
Olivia, this is Evan.
I don't see a red cross next to anyone's name, but I've heard Evan's voice. So, Evan Leibovich, you have the floor.
2 points. Number one, watch out your use of the term red cross. It might be protected somewhere. And secondly, I totally agree with the term with the use of the working group, but I do think that the term curation is almost counterintuitive. Although there are things may go through a single account or something like that, the concept of curation, I think, in some ways is almost counterintuitive to social media. So if we're trying to explain to people what this thing is about, then let's just say this is a social media working group as opposed to curation, which to a casual observer just looking at what this is would have no idea of what it's actually working up on based on the title. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Dave, any thoughts on this?
This is Dave. I think the curation is an accurate term because it is what the group is doing. It's creating the content from the community so that it can be shared on the at-large social media accounts. Right now, the concept so far is that the staff will have the control of the accounts. But the idea is that we want to funnel all of our content to the staff, who will then be posting the content and monitoring it.
Thanks very much for this, Dave. Next is Murray McKercher.
Yes, thank you, Olivia. It's Murray McKercher for the record. Just my 2 cents, as I have joined the curation group, I'm not particularly worried about the name. Obviously, we're using social media A lot of social media, in my experience, is already curated by corporations. Nevertheless, those platforms allow for an open discussion amongst anyone on the planet. So I think it's a good thing. My two cents. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lorraine. And next is Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I do share the concern of Evan, and perhaps social media is not the best word, the name. We can use, for example, I don't know, content working group or social media content working group. I don't know. We can find other things, but something which is explicit and which make people immediately understand what it is about. Thank you.
Thanks very much. For this comment, Tijani, back to you, Dave, and then we'll close, we'll move on. We're not going to spend another hour just on the name of a working group, but maybe it's something for your working group to take on and discuss internally if you wish to do so. Dave, you have the closing remarks on this.
Thank you. I mean, I guess I'm reading the comments in the chat, and I guess I could see the potential for misunderstanding. I think we could probably have that discussion on our Thursday call to rename it. Maybe social media working group then might be a better term. But so we'll definitely consider it. So.
Thanks very much, Dave, for this. And I note someone having put a link to a Wikipedia article which also says that it's cultural heritage management and healing. So hopefully you can find both of these during your next call. Let's move on. Just noting that on this topic, we have held the consensus call on the creation of the official creation of the working group. And therefore, the working group having had, the consensus call having had no objections, the working group is created. And the action item there is for Dave to be discussing, or for the working group to be discussing the name, its own name during its next call. And Dave, we will be asking upon you during the next ALAC call to come back to us with a whatever decision has been reached by the working group, and I hope it won't take a whole full hour on this. Next, we have items for discussion. We have plenty of items for discussion. I realize we are running slowly out of time, but the first item for discussion is the next steps on the public comment on the proposal for the use of a mandatory policy advisory, of mandatory policy advisory board, the famous PABs, for regulated industry sector and consumer trust entities, new GTLD strings. This is a public comment period that the ALAC has created and has been running for the past few months. There was an extension to, I believe it was to today, just a few days ago or so. Anyway, this is now closing, and I guess there needs to be next steps agreed on, and next steps agreed on by the ALAC, since it is an ALAC public comment period. Does the ALAC wish to pass this back to the working group, to the new GTLD working group? Does the ALAC wish to act directly? Where do we go from here, effectively? And I'm going to ask Evan Leibovich to expand on this topic. Evan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Evan for the record. As you said, Olivier, there's been a long process on this. At the request of some of the organizations that were submitting responses, we extended the deadline on this issue. So hopefully to save some time, because as you say, we're running late, I absolutely agree with your recommendation to take this back to the new GTLD working group, which will then review the submissions that we'll then discuss and then propose next steps back to ALAC. So I think right now that's the best that can be suggested right now, and especially since you're short on time, I think that's a reasonable way to proceed. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Evan. Quick question to you. What is your time scale for this?
frankly, I'm not sure. I'll have to consult with the other members of the working group. What I would like to do is have the working group perhaps present something that will be ready in time for the summit. That's my personal goal. If there's a desire for it to go faster or slower, I'm happy to work with that, but that was my personal thought. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Evan. And I was going to ask now staff on the topic of the summary of responses. I'm not quite sure how that is performed, whether this is a staff item or whether it is a working group item to be making a summary of the responses. Having been in other working groups, I have seen that these things suddenly appear magically in our mailboxes, and I'm not quite sure whether the magic will take place here. Heidi Ulrich, you have the floor.
Hi, Olivia. This is Heidi. For the record, it is normally staff that does just the initial analysis, so I will go ahead and try to get to that this week, and then the working group can decide what to go ahead and do with that for the next step.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. So let's have it as an action item then, please, so that we keep track of this, that staff will perform the initial what do you call it, analysis? Yeah, the initial analysis of the PAB public comment. Or the PAB public, I guess these really are public comment forum contributions. And that's one. And as a follow-up, or in the same action item, the new GTLD working group will take up the work of the follow-up work on this. Okay, and maybe there needs to be an email sent to the new GTLD working group on this ASAP, please. Evan, could I task you for this, please?
Sure.
Excellent. Thank you. Now that takes us to agenda item number 9, the at-large structure decertification. And here we have the next steps. Again, as we discussed it earlier, we have a few dead ducks among our ranks. At-large structures that are either inactive or that don't exist anymore, where the organization has effectively been dissolved, or in some cases, structures that have asked to be decertified. At the moment, we have a total of 4, 6, 8 listed on the wiki page, which I invite you all to have a look at. In order to be able to look at the detailed information about the at-large structures themselves and the reason for them being on this list, you have to be logged in. And that's primarily to avoid having the information picked up by automatic search engines and then displaying it over on the search engine in case the information doesn't make those organizations look too great in some cases. Now, we've got these 8 that are here. Last month I have asked for RALO leaders to provide the input on each one of these organizations and for the ALAC to be able to make its choice on whether it needs to agree to its delisting or not. I know that the first 4 requests have been sent out. What I'm going to ask is each one of the RALO leaders, actually, if they are all on the call, to be able to take us very quickly through each one of the organizations there and explain the reason why they are on this list. Let's start with the URALO at-large structures. And Wolf Ludwig, if you're able to speak, now is the time to please take us through these 4 organizations listed. Wolf, you have the floor.
Olivia, this is Ben Wolf is indicating he can only participate on Adobe Connect.
Wolf is only on Adobe Connect. Ah, that doesn't help. And you're not able to speak through Adobe Connect, I gather. So then maybe I have to take you through these. So there's four of them that are here. Associazione Italiana per la Sicurezza Informatica, CLUSIC. And then there's KEPCA, consumer.org, from Greece. Then there's Terre des Femmes from Germany and Wineinternet.org from Switzerland. I know that there have been some requests by Wolf Ludwig to ask those ALSs to confirm whether they want anything done, whether they wish to remain an ALS or not. I note that with regards to Terre des Femmes, the message could not be delivered, so there was a bounce regarding that message. With regard to whyinternet.org, there was also a bounce, so that means the internet address does not work anymore. With regards to kepka.org, I'm not quite sure what the response was on this, and so I will ask Wolf to please type in the chat or whether he is able to speak on the AC to let us know if there was any response from this one. And finally, with the Associazione Italiana, the CLUSIT, I don't see any feedback on that either. I just see an email that was sent out and no feedback on it. Wolf, if you could just let us know. So Wolf is saying he is waiting until the 31st of May for a response. There were no responses so far, and likely there will not be responses. I open the floor for comments and questions from anyone on the call regarding the URALO organizations that are up for being decertified. In particular, knowing that there was a big discussion regarding the three organizations that were already decertified last year, are there any concerns with going through the process in this way at the moment? In other words, if you don't receive an answer, if you're unable to get hold of someone in that organization, is this enough for the organization to be decertified? So Dave mentioned that kepka.org looks active. But are they active in URALO? That's the big question. And is the person that we are trying to get hold of actually active? That's a real hard one. David Antinixon, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is David Ant speaking. I mean, I'm just looking at the information provided on the decertified workspace. So is it that regarding you have responded, you've asked directly, the contacted the persons at KEPCA directly via the website and gotten zero responses over the years? And I guess I see a Wolf is responding, so I'll stop.
The answer from Wolf, yes, is rather robust, should we say, using the number 7 before the word years. So it's been 7 years of trying. It probably is long enough. Okay, I see no one else wanting to comment on these. So now we have the next two, which are from LACRALO, the Asociación Costarricense de Dechero Informatico, and the National Consumers League. Both of these are put forward by LACRALO. But I have noticed that there was a note with regards to the Costa Rican ALS, that they had responded and were actually interested in remaining an at-large structure. I wonder if we have Alberto. Yes, we have Alberto Soto on the call, and I wonder if I could ask on Alberto Soto to take us through these two organizations, please.
David? This is Alberto Soto for the record. Thank you, Olivier. The Asociación contra el Cerce de Derecho Informático had one member which was very inactive, and when we asked for a clarification on this, we received that inactive member just contacted us with another member in the organization, and the organization is still on, it still continues. It just did not participate because of that non-participation of one member. The new contact has committed to continue working, being an ALS. Therefore, in this sense, we request that with the inclusive character that we always work on, we do not decertify this association. Now, with respect to the national consumer, we have not had any contact. It has been a long time since we contacted them. And we do agree within Lacrado, we have reached consensus that they do be decertified. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alberto, for these explanations. So effectively, as far as I understand, the Costa Rican ALS might be taken off the list for the time being then. Is that correct?
This is Alberto speaking. That is correct. Within the metrics that we are approving, we hope to approve them before London, this association would have 1 year to define whether they will continue belonging or not in case they do comply with the metrics and they would be considering what an ALS is, an active ALS is. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alberto. Very helpful indeed. So let's put these off the list for the time being. And finally, we have the two Naralo ALSs, the Consumer Web Watch and the Alberta Community Network Association. Do we have anyone from Naralo who wishes to take a minute to explain to us the status on these, please? Who is going to step forward in the absence of Garth?
Olivier, it's Evan. I don't have much to say on them except that Naralo has gone through quite a bit of discussion and its own due diligence to confirm that this is appropriate. I don't have much more. I didn't plan for anything to say here, but I can tell you that there's been significant discussion. This situation has been fairly well vetted. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much for this, Evan. And I see agreement from Alan on the Adobe Connect. Okay, so these are the ALSs now. You've got the full list in front of you with only one that has been removed from the list, with the Costa Rican one removed from the list. The next steps for this is for a motion for each one of these to be put forward, and I think the last time it was a motion that was put forward by Alan Greenberg, and then it needs to be seconded. And then the vote needs to take place electronically. All of that will take place electronically. And I think that that gives us a green light to proceed forward with sending the motion out. Alan, are you okay with, being the person sending the initial motions out?
I would be delighted. I have no problem with that. I can paste and copy from emails.
Okay. Thanks very much, Alan. And I'm going to ask for a seconder here, so we could have the motion sent out by you and already seconded by someone else who would like to second these motions.
This is Evan. I'm happy to second it.
I see Evan and Jean-Jacques Subrenat and Eduardo Diaz. So
And Olivier, this is Heidi Dev is also seconding it, and Leon in the chat.
And Dave as well, and Alberto Soto. Goodness, everyone is seconding. They really want to get rid of ALS's. Interesting dynamic. So seconded by Alberto Soto, Devanand Tilak Singh, Leon Sanchez, Jean-Jacques Subrenat, and by Evan Liebovich as well. Great. Staff, you have the whole list?
Aria? I think we do.
And Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Jean-Jacques?
Jean-Jacques Suprenant, I can't hear you. You must be muted at the moment.
Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques. It was a mistake.
I can hear you.
I didn't ask to speak. I did not ask to speak. Thanks.
Okay, your hand is up there. Okay, thank you. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I just want to, someone could send, the list is not in the in the agenda, so if someone could send to the list the formal list of the ALS to city certify, so I have something in writing, that I will submit the motions. I assume it's the list in the wiki, but we should have an email on file.
Yes, thanks very much, Alan. So it's the list in the wiki without the Costa Rican organization.
Understand, but...
Let's have Ariel follow up with this. Or who deals with decertification? Is it Natalie or Ariel? Heidi?
This is Heidi. It's actually both, because Ariel will set up the vote, and then Natalie will handle the process of it. So I think if that could be an action item for Natalie, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, just cut and paste from the wiki and put it in an email to the ALAC list, so I have
minus the Costa Rican. Yes, this is Heidi. Minus the Costa Rican.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you, Alan. And let's move on. Now we have the Atlas 2 update, and that is tasked for 30 minutes. I don't think that we will spend 30 minutes, but I hope we won't spend 30 minutes. I know that we have interpreters until the top of the hour. I'm not sure whether we can get an extension with the interpreters for another 15 minutes or so. But in the meantime, until I get a reply for this, let's proceed forward with the update. And I hand the floor over to Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Eduardo. Just a quick update. Just to tell you that the newsletters are going now. And there is a newsletter number 2 going out this week, I believe. It's being translated. There is a web page that is already online, and it's located here. And you can go and see. Please go and visit the page and provide comments to the communications group. There are some things that they need to be done in the web page, and the idea is to make it better for everyone. In regards to the events and event agenda and the thematic group agendas, Wolf and Tijani can give you more details on that, and staff also. I understand the Fair of Opportunity is being moved to Tuesday instead of Monday, and mostly because on Tuesday we were able to acquire or use a larger room that will fit the purpose of the fair. And also to end, we all learned last week that about 38 ALSs are still in the connected to ICANN constituency travel, and the information was sent to all the rural leaders to follow up individually with each one of these ALSs. 38 is a big number, so I'm not sure about the result of that. That's my report. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Eduardo. Next is Heidi Ulrich.
Yeah, sorry, just a quick update on those numbers. Actually, they were slightly inflated. There were actually about 20. And since then, the Railo leaders have reached out to them, and I think we're making really good progress on reducing the number from 20 down to the 0 that we want it to be. So that's making good progress.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Next is Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Heidi, I would like to ask about the African participants, delegates, because we reached out to them, and I think that they all are in touch with constituency travel. But please confirm if there is still people from Africa who didn't do that. Thank you.
Okay, Tijani. Thank you.
Yeah.
Heidi, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is Heidi. I can go ahead and do that. I did see this morning that I believe one person from Afra was not, the visa was rejected. So I'm going to just look into that and see if we can get that person to try again with some more information.
Yes. And please inform us. Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Heidi. And one last thing with regards to the travel, of course, is to make sure that you, those of you needing to have visas for London, I hope you've already sent out your passport to get to and obtain the visa. It takes 15 working days, which is about 3 weeks, and we are just about 4 weeks away now. So this is the very, very last week that you're able to send your passport out if you want to be able to get it before you fly out to London. If you ever fly out to London, if you don't have your passport, then you won't. Couple of more things also on this, the thematic groups, very important themes, the five of them, the future of multi-stakeholderism, the globalization of ICANN, the global internet, the user perspective, ICANN transparency and accountability, and at-large community engagement in ICANN. Very interesting topics indeed. We've got subject matter experts and moderators and reporters all lined up, and there will be a call for these people shortly, maybe this week, maybe next week. There's just an enormous amount of a lot of things going on simultaneously. Heidi, back to you.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Just some updates, other updates. There's going to be a board cocktail with the Atlas on Sunday evening. And also, as I noted in the chat, please could everyone add their agendas on the wiki or send them to staff by Thursday or this Friday at the very latest, including the General Assembly. We only have a few, and we need to get those sent to be translated to have them up in time. Also, we just decided this past week that Olivier will be asked to present the summit declaration at the beginning of the public board meeting on Thursday for a few minutes. So there was some lack of clarity whether that was going to happen in the public forum or the board meeting, and it was decided that it would be the board meeting. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Heidi, and I'm glad I'm learning this today. Great. I'm glad I attended this call. So next, in the update, as you can see, there is a link to the draft agenda. This is the whole length of the week that we have. I just wanted to ask staff, has this been updated?
Olivia, this is Heidi. No, the big Excel one has not yet, and the reason being is that there were some, just late last week, some changes, significant changes in terms of the schedule, including the fair, the cocktail, et cetera. So we'll get to that that updating. I know that's an action item from, I think it was one of the OC calls, so we'll go ahead and do that this week.
Yeah, thank you very much, Heidi. And so the draft agenda shows that there will be most of the Saturday will be plenary sessions with the afternoon having workshops, and then most of the Sunday will be workshops, and this is where we work on those thematic discussions. And just as a reminder, those thematic discussions will then come up with a statement from each one of those working groups. That statement will then be collated and compounded together into a report, and that report will be given to the board. So we're dealing with some very serious matters in London. And simultaneously, there will also be other events taking place in London. On the Monday, there is a GAC high-level meeting, which I think some of our at-large structures might be interested in going to see as well. There's just a very, very packed week throughout the whole London week that we will have. The ALACS work is moved somehow. Some of it takes place on Monday. Some of it will take place on Tuesday. Some of it on Wednesday. It's all shifted around. And, of course, on the Thursday, there is a large shifting of things because there will be a number of public discussions taking place starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. So the ALAC will have to, first the Atlas 2 will have to meet early on the Thursday morning to be able to finalize its statements and its report. And then the ALAC will meet over lunchtime to actually ratify the report. It's an even busier week than past weeks. Hopefully, we will be able to take it easy in Los Angeles at the end of the year, at least as compared to the London venue. One more thing, there is, it's not all work. There is also a little bit of play in this and some happiness in this whole hell of a schedule. And that's on the Saturday night. There is a dinner which has been sponsored by affiliates that will be taking place outside the venue in a pub. That's going to be great fun, I think, for all of the at-large structures. It's an Atlas 2 thing, so everyone is invited. And then there is a lunch that will take place on the Sunday, right in the middle of the day, which will give a welcome break for all of our participants. And that lunch is sponsored by PIR, and that also takes place off-site, just down the road. So at least we'll get a bit of sun if it's a sunny day, or we'll get a bit of rain if it's a rainy day on that day. But that's one way to get out of the meeting room a little bit. And then we, of course, have our fair, which will take place on, and that's going to be changed. This was originally going to take place on the Monday afternoon, but because we didn't have enough space in there, this is going to be moved later on in the week. I see that Evan and Tejani have got their hand up. Let's take the queue and then come back to the list. Evan, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Evan for the record. As if things weren't busy enough, I note that because many of the flights getting into London, especially from the Western Hemisphere, are overnighters, there'll be people that may be coming in earlier on the Friday. So I'd just like to let you know that there are two events actually going in on the Friday. They're not part of the official schedule for either Atlas or the ICANN meeting. There is an all-day workshop being presented by the Internet Society for any of its chapters or chapter members or any like that on engagement with governments and other bodies. And also the NCUC is holding a workshop on civil society on Friday in the late afternoon. So anybody that is able to get there and has some time to kill or is just trying to settle in, if they want to get involved early, there will be activities going on even on the Friday. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Next is Tishani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. I would like to ask if it is confirmed that the Fair of Opportunity is moved to Tuesday. Have we already checked the availability of people who will speak in this event?
Thank you, Tejani. I turn to Heidi Olish.
This is Heidi. Olivier, no, not yet. There was a holiday, so I will go ahead and do that right now, but I suspect that they will be available. Just to let you know that on the Monday time and date, the speakers were only available just for a few minutes as well, so it wasn't great. So we'll get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for this. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, on a much more mundane level, the best way to get from the air from Heathrow to downtown, or actually to our hotel, is the Heathrow Express. It's quite expensive, but it offers significant discounts if you buy more than one ticket at a time. So we may want to look into, people who are arriving at the same time and things, acquiring tickets ahead of time and saving a fair amount of money. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Alan, for this tip. Certainly, the Heathrow Express only takes 10 minutes to go from Heathrow to central London, and then it's about a five-minute walk down the street to the hotel. But it is also the most expensive rail line in Europe, admittedly, or allegedly, should we say. there's always a price for speed. Right, just a couple more minutes on this topic still, to ask Eduardo to just explain to us quickly the Fair of Opportunities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Basically, Fair of Opportunity will be it's mostly a networking event, but we're going to have we can look at the agenda, which I don't know the link, but if staff can put it on online, that will be great. And it's an agenda that has been already approved by consensus. And basically, we're going to have some, Olivier open the event, and then we'll have some speeches, and I think there is a break, and then we come back and we do a quiz at the end by Pap is his name, I believe, sir. And just, I don't know if most of you participated in the Afralo in Singapore event, which he, they had like kind of a quiz type thing, and people were answering some of the quick answers, and they, you know, they were getting gifts and things like that. We're planning to do something like that for about 20 minutes during the fair. And if you look at the schedule, it's very, you know, it's quite very intense 2 hours that we're going to have Monday with background music from all over the Rallo's world. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this. Evan and Alan, your hands are still up. Are you wishing to speak, or is that an old hand?
Sorry.
It's an old hand. Okay, thank you. Let's move swiftly further down. We have the mentoring program, which is, in fact, we have two things. We have the mentoring program, which takes place with the Atlas II mentoring program. I'm desperately looking for Fatima Cambronero and cannot find her on the list at the moment. And I don't know if anybody is able to share a few words on this to let us know where this is at the moment. But in the meantime, I'll ask on Gisela Gruber to take us through the mentorship program, I believe. It's the or mentor program? I've lost track, and I think it's highly confusing to have two programs with a very, very similar name. Over to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here for the transcript. The mentor program we are referring to now is, we're just bringing the page up, is the pilot ICANN mentor program, which is different to the Atlas II mentor program. And you will have met our three mentees in Singapore. We have Gunella, Mercy, and Anthony. And the first stage was Singapore, and they have now submitted their reports. And if you wish to read the reports, it's on the mentee, it's on the page that you see here, and I'll put the link in the Heidi's already put the link in the Adobe Connect chat. And between Singapore and London, they've been working with their mentors, attending the pre-Atlas II capacity building webinars, where we have our eighth and last one that's coming Thursday. And we've got a call set up for tomorrow where we'll be discussing their involvement in the Atlas II and how they will be playing an active role throughout the week of the summit. And this page will be updated as soon as we have their London schedule. And it will then become more of a workspace for them to add any information that they wish to add. And we'll make sure that everyone on the ALAC announce list is aware of what has been put on this page. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Gisela. Next, we have the sponsorship update. And very quick feedback. As I've told you earlier, we had sponsorship from affiliates, from PIR, but also sponsorship from Google. So we're still working for a couple more possible leads, and hopefully we will have budgets that will balance out thanks to those great sponsors. Communication updates, website and newsletter. Dave, is there anything you would like to add to what you shared with us earlier?
This is Dave. I'm just to say that the third newsletter is we'll be aiming to get that newsletter out within the next 2 days. And the Atlas II website, the communication group has posted, as Eduardo said, it's just here, the communication group has posted it for comment for within the group. So I don't think there's nothing much more to add. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. And if I could ask the interpreters to remain another 2 minutes, we'll be finished. Tijani Benjema, you have the floor. Please be less than 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you very much, Olivier. Just to say that I am worried about the survey result. Do we have all the ALSs decided on the groups they choose? if they didn't, we have already to form, we have already, we have to proceed and form the groups and let people who didn't choose their group that they are assigned to this or this other group. It is something that we need to do now because we need to make some calls before London to prepare the work of the groups. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Tijani. Indeed, a concern. If we could have a link to that survey, please, in the Adobe Connect chat. If any of you as ALS representatives have not filled that survey, please do so now so we have this. If you don't fill the survey or have not filled that survey, then I'm afraid you're going to be allocated a group that you might not be interested in. Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I just mind if any other business. Are you to that point yet?
Okay, thank you. You're putting your hand up early. Okay. Finally, promotional items. We've got a great number of little goodies and things, and they are all connected to the agenda. You'll be able to see the list of promotional items that we have there. And I understand there will also be, in addition to those promotional items, there will be a number of, I can see the gifts there. So there you go. They're here already. They're listed here. Okay, that finishes the Atlas 2 update, and now we are moving over to any other business. The last part of our agenda, Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl, for the record. I have been in contact, it's not actually any other business, it's going back to action items, but I think it's the only place to put it in now. I've been in contact with Evan and Rudy via email during this call, and whilst Rudy hasn't got back to me, Evan has, and neither he nor I know what on earth the action item against our names is. So can we have a action item on staff to get back to us to explain to us what that action item means and what we are required to do? Because during this call, I've gone through the transcript of the ALAC meetings all the way back to Singapore, and I can't work it out, and neither can Evan. Also, on the transcript from Singapore, the link from the Singapore meeting that should take you to the ALAC meeting takes you to the MCUC ALAC meeting, and that needs fixing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. I hope that staff has made a note on this. So action item for staff to explain the action item that is currently open, Cheryl Langdonor and Evan Leibovich to liaise with Ruby Vansnick in regard to the implementation of consumer metrics and follow up further details. And I think we are reaching the end of this. And I thank you all for being on this call. Yes, Johnny Benjamin, you have the floor.
Only to say that we need an action item for the group formation. I think it is time now to proceed.
For group formation, yes, please. So a follow-up on that, please, yes. So an action item, second action item, staff, and this is the last one, for the formation of those thematic groups to proceed forward. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Okay, and so with this, we're reaching the end of this call. I absolutely have to thank the interpreters for having stayed an additional 20 minutes like this. It's really incredible. There is one more announcement from Gisela Gruber. I know, and Gisela, please. Make that introduction.
Thank you, Olivier. I'll just be 5 seconds. I would just like to introduce you to Kathy Schnitt, who you may have seen on the attendees list. Kathy is joining us as part of at-large staff temporarily to help us over the next few months. Welcome to Kathy, and if you do see her name on an email, you will hopefully now know who she is. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gisela. It's Olivier speaking. And in thanking the interpreters, back to the interpreters, I would like to thank in particular the Russian interpreter,
because it's the first time we have a Russian interpreter on this call, and apparently there is only one person assuming this position, which means they have not stopped talking for 2 hours and 21 minutes. Well done, really. And thanks to everyone and to our staff for having been through this very long call. I note we still have a lot of people on the call. It's been a great call, and I really look forward to seeing all of you in London in less than, what is it, 30 days? How many days do we have left? Heidi tells me every day how many days we have. Heidi?
24.
Ah!
Something like that. I know.
24. Scary number. Thanks to all of you. Goodbye. This call is now adjourned.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. See you in London. Bye-bye.
Adios. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call.